We can pick up our book of the month on Leslie's Readers and catch up with Catherine Lana, our freelance journalist of Browsers Bookshop, who is here with me. Hello.
Hello.
So we've got this book, Blackwater by Louise Doughty, who is the author of the best-selling Apple Tree Yard. And the back of the book has all kinds of quotes on it. We've got, and talking about the covers of the book, I have actually read it. This is like when you, you're supposed to write an essay on something and school or university, and you just base everything on the essay on the first page and the caption on the back. But I have actually read this. But just to give you an idea of how lauded it is, we've got The Times, Doughty at her suspenseful best, The Spectator, a book for Graham Greene and John le Carré lovers, Metro, an intelligent thriller so full of shadows that it prickles with the anticipatory tension of a violent storm on a muggy day. How did you find it?
Well, I suppose I enjoyed all of those aspects. I thought that it's quite an interesting quote that you read last, wasn't it, about the violent storm on a muggy day, because I think that's what drew me into the book in the first place, was that it's very full of colour and heat and smell, even, as she describes the flowers in this place, because it's set in Indonesia, not a place that I'm very familiar with, but it really did make you feel as though you were there. I thought you know the weather, even as he's saying with the storm and the muggy day, there's lots of rain that's mentioned in this, and that adds to the suspense and the tension. But shall I just sum up what it's about? As much as I could tell.
We have already established off air that both of us spent as much time clueless about what was going on as each other.
The author actually calls it quite a complicated book, because it's about a man who had led a very complicated life in her imagination. So it's set in Indonesia, and it's about this man called John Harper, and though that's not his real name. So he lives quite a difficult life, full of subterfuge, and he's not necessarily a good man because of what he does through a job. But he's, as we join him, he's in a hut in Bali, and he's listening to the rain pounding the roof above him, and he's actually waiting to find out his fate, because he thinks he's going to be killed. And the reason for why he might be killed lies in the rest of the book. So we have various flashbacks to other elements of his life, his troubled childhood, the fact he had to travel all over the world through various different reasons, dragged by his family, and then through his occupation, which is working for, as far as I can tell, working for multinational companies and then governments, and infiltrating difficult situations around the world to try and get their policies through, if you see what I mean.
It is quite vague on what exactly he's doing, so I'm not sure, because I similarly, if someone had asked me to explain John Harper's job, I don't know if I really could, other than it's clearly very high powered, very dangerous, and probably in a bit of a grey area between what a company should and shouldn't be doing, in that it seems to be largely above board, but dealing with everything in a very underhand, below board kind of way.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's something that, if you can draw any similarities with this author's other books, because this does seem to me quite different, but one of the things that she likes to explore is moral ambiguity. And, you know, if I was in that situation, how would I behave? And also, we tend to think of people being good and bad, and the bad is being through and through bad, but everybody's got a bit of good in them, so what led them to that situation, sort of thing.
Yeah, you come out of it really quite liking the protagonist, even though he is incredibly flawed and, you know, a pretty appalling husband, not necessarily a good person in the stereotypical ways you would define someone as good, and yet kind of likeable, and it's all sort of seen through his eyes, and you build up this inside looking out perspective on his character, and you can't really help but like him despite the various bad things he does.
Yes, which is quite a skill, I think, of the author in achieving that. Though, if he hadn't had some characteristics that were likable, then would we have carried on reading?
Probably not, actually. Particularly because we had no idea what was going on.
Indeed. But it was a very nice setting, and the flashbacks were interesting, because we went to different periods of history through his lifetime and different countries. But it was also interesting, I thought, because this is a woman writing from a man's perspective, and I did believe it.
Yes.
I think she worked quite hard to make sure that there were things that he said and did that were authentically male rather than her in him.
I think because I didn't pick this up for myself, because Leslie sent me a note and said it's on my desk, pick it up, read it. I did, and I didn't pay any attention to the front or the back cover because I wasn't buying it it wasn't, my reading this wasn't based on the whole judging a book by its cover. Therefore, I didn't actually look at the cover. I just picked up and read it. And it was only after I'd finished it, I realised it was written by a woman. So I think I can say with conviction that this was convincingly written from a man's perspective by a woman, because I had no idea that it wasn't written by a man until yes. I finally happened to kind of glance for a prolonged period of time at the front cover and thought, oh, Louise.
Yes.
I don't know how. I feel very stupid for having not looked at the front cover before or during reading it.
Well, no, it's quite an interesting concept, though, isn't it, these days? Because we're challenged to... by so much choice in what book to read. And the other thing about the front cover is that it's a very dark cover, and I don't think it really conveys what I would anticipate from the book as well, because that was very much the colour and the mood of Indonesia.
I mean, is it supposed to appeal to men or women? Because I would think this is the kind of front cover that a man wouldn't mind holding up and reading.
Yes.
You know, it's quite a masculine looking book.
Yes.
Only green and black with a tiny hint of lilac about the front cover, but basically it's a green and black and white sort of presentation.
Yes. And I think this author is always, from what I understand of her, and I did meet her at Felix Day Book Festival this weekend, so I've been able to chat to her a little bit, and she does always want to keep pushing the boundaries, as that she says that each book that she writes she wants to make a little bit different. And so writing from a male perspective, she has done it before, but this was quite a challenge, as well as having all the historical background to Indonesia and the troubles that they had there, right, and the genocide. So she had to research quite a bit, and she had to get into that male voice.
And she must have gone there as well.
She did.
She captures it so well.
Yes. Well, I think the original inspiration was that she went to a book festival to speak about one of her books and heard through conversation some of the history of the country, and being enamoured by it through her own experience as well, she tied the two together. And then she had the excuse to revisit, to research. So
very
quite a good idea.
More travel expenses.
Yes.
I think what's interesting is the only time I'd encountered Bali in any kind of literary form before was in Eat, Pray, Love, which really couldn't be more dissimilar.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know, is that book that was turned into the big Hollywood movie where she goes to Italy for a few months and eats. She goes to India and sort of prays and does a lot of yoga and silence and meditation and stuff. And then in Bali is where she loves. And it's a very idyllic setting. And she's off with this sort of medicine man, and she falls in love with this fabulous, very romantic guy, and it's all kind of about parties and self-discovery, and it couldn't be further from genocide and rioting and the history of the place.
So there is a little bit of romance in this, just so
yes,
that
there is.
You know, to lighten the mood a little bit. So John Harper does meet a lady in a bar, and they start a relationship, and is that going to be the redeeming thing for him in his life, because has it come too late?
You know, like her. She's a very good character. And I think, there is that kind of that bit of romance about it. And although it does deal with some pretty gritty stuff, as you might expect in a book that's sent, captures anything, genocide in Indonesia in 1965, riots in the 90s, and also some racial tension in America in the 40s, it covers a lot of quite dark subjects. And yet I, who is somebody who increasingly has to have really soft subject matter because I just get more and more sensitive the older I get, I was okay with this. I wasn't too traumatised.
And in fact, I think describing it, it does sound quite a grim read, but it's not.
No.
It's a very difficult one. And also because she wrote Apple Tree Yard as well, which people have all sorts of ideas about. I mean, I don't know whether it's a Marmite book, as in that you loved or hated it. And certainly with the TV dramatisation, it sort of got a lot of attention and a lot of response. It's difficult because people usually want the same book. So if they enjoyed Apple Tree Yard, then they'd want the same sort of thing. And I must say that just the first two pages of this book, I was completely blown away, because it wasn't anything from what I was expecting. And perhaps I wouldn't have picked this up if she hadn't have written the other books before, the thrillers that were a little bit more domestic, a little bit easier to find a way into. This one is perhaps out of my comfort zone normally, but actually it's almost all the better for it, because it's so different and yet so readable.
And we've said a couple of times that we didn't really know what was going on, a lot of it. That sounds like a criticism, but actually I think it is one of its strongest points, is you really are guessing. I mean, I had a particularly stupid moment where, because it's a little bit spies, a bit espionage-y, yes. That I thought there were these kind of code names. It's not really code names. They're called by surnames, Henriksen or whatever. But because everyone was by names like that, when they kept talking about Amsterdam, I thought it was a person. Yes. But actually, it was just like the Amsterdam office.
Yes.
And I had this flash of the blinding obvious halfway through. I thought, you absolute idiot. Why have you not realised this is just an office rather than a person? But it's that kind of book where you're not quite sure who people are,
yeah.
what's going to happen. Even at the very end, to be perfectly honest, I said in our kind of morning meeting in the office, I think I know what happened at the end. I'm not entirely sure. Were we on the cusp of something happening that it almost leaves it before the end, if you see what I mean?
Yes. So I think it's probably one of those love or hate situations where the reader has to decide what they think has happened at the end, which I don't usually feel very satisfied at that. But I think it is so in keeping with the rest of the book that you don't mind. Yeah. And actually, I just think it's a really powerful book. And as you read in the quotes earlier as well, it's something for Graham Greene and John le Carré lovers. It's a book of spy, of the spy genre, really. I think she does it very well.
And Jenny Murray of Radio 4 fame said that Doughty was a brilliant creator of suspense with complex, flawed characters, gripping and beautifully written. We were having a bit of a laugh at the, first of all, the fact that you got The Times, The New York Times Book Review, The Spectator, Metro, and also Jenny Murray, who I'm fairly certain quite a lot of people picking this up in America or overseas would have no idea.
No,
but,
that's true.
But obviously she has enough clout to be there on the back cover with her quotation. And I think all in all, we concur with all of those.
I think so, yes.
Literary reviews.
Yes.
Would you, on the whole, then recommend it to people?
I think yes. Give it a go. Even if some of the things that we've been describing do sound a little bit not in your realm of enjoyment usually, I think give it a try, because I think it is well written. And even if it isn't the genre that you would normally pick up, I think you would find it very enjoyable and keep turning those pages.
And sometimes when you have to read something, I was told I had to read this, it can, I mean, it's not like they stood over me with a whip or something, but I felt obliged to talk about it properly. Sometimes you're very aware that you're having to read something,
yes.
whereas I just enjoyed reading it. It was not a trial to take this on the train with me or, you know, pick it up at the weekend and read it. So
well, that's great to know, isn't
so
it?
So I think that's probably the real definitive sign that it was an enjoyable read.
Good.
Even though I had to read it, I still enjoyed it.